Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here and welcome to another video. It's about 5:30 a.m. The bastard birds are cheeping outside. It's another major day and it's obviously we've just finished, well it's not just, but I did go straight asleep so it feels like it. Day two of the major and again a few upsets. It wasn't a great day for predictions based on my first video, so we'll kind of break that down. We'll take a look at the games, take a look ahead to what's coming up, and I'll throw some predictions out there because obviously on the desk I never get to do them. But just as well, bit of good news, Sam is out here for the major. That's the producer Sam, who's named on the thing. It's over there, I think. Just in case you're new to the channel or whatever, and he's going to be doing some filming and whatnot, hopefully anyway, on site. So maybe one of these vlogs will be done actually in the green room or on site or whatever, you know, with the other talent involved. So we'll certainly be looking forward to that. But for now, he's snoring away through that wall, which is lovely. And yeah, so not today. You will not see Sam today. So let's take a look at what happened yesterday. And the first game of the day was Mouse Sports versus Hellraisers, which you'll remember I said Mouse Sports are a terrible team and they have no chance of beating Hellraisers. Now, I did say all of that, but unfortunately, there was one slight caveat. I think Hellraisers had to draft poorly, and I think they did. I mean, look, the randomness involved in the major, so there's always going to be that element of it. But, you know, Hellraiser, they start out good. They get rid of Dust 2. Then they get rid of Mirage. Yeah, maybe. And there was Nuke left in there. And maybe that would have been better for them. I definitely feel that Cash was going to be a better pick for Mouse Sports than Mirage. I think maybe they might have had a fighting chance. I understand why Hellraisers are wanting to move away from Mirage. Especially, you know, we know Mouse Sports can play it. But I definitely feel Cash coming up pretty much ended it as a contest. Now, that said, there's been some people who really have failed to impress me on the Hellraisers team, you know. And I guess principally, I'll say Dead Fox has been a little bit disappointing. He's disappointing again here yesterday. And a lot of people were saying, oh, you shouldn't judge him. You know, he's not had the AWP a lot because of the team not winning the rounds. And it's like, look, I'm all about, I judge players not on their A game, I judge them on their B game, which might sound a bit stupid, but I'll explain it. Not every player is going to get to execute their A game. It's what you can do when things aren't going a plan. Like, how effective can you be? And this is one of the things with, say, for example, JDM. We've seen it time and time again back when he was in CLG. If you don't get an AWP in his hands, if you don't get him the sniper rifle, not that effective, not a great rifler. So for me, I don't really ever use that as an excuse. You know, oh, he didn't get the AWP. Okay, could he get a rifle? Could he get some kills with a pistol? You know, could he hold a bomb site? Could he support his teammates? You know, there's all these other questions. So yeah, Dead Fox only picked up 9 kills here against Mouse Sports, and I feel this is the kind of team Dead Fox would have dominated at the qualifiers or whatever. So I don't know if he's got a little bit of deer in the headlights going on, but Hellraisers were really disappointing. And let's be clear, Mouse Sports aren't a good team. You have to be disappointing to make Mouse Sports look so good. Now, what I will say is a few things happened in this game as Mouse Sports built momentum. Nico was back in it, you know, 100 ADR, 21 kills, good numbers. But just the way he handled himself, you can see he was a bit more loose. He wasn't as tense. There wasn't that negativity, that negative air that there can be there sometimes in Mouse Sports. I think before him and Lowell really got running, it was Chris J that held down the fort. I think Chris J is really making a strong argument right now in terms of AWPing. I definitely think he's right up there in Europe. I think, you know, with Guardian having that fall off and not being the undisputed number one, and, you know, Kenny S is always going to be up there and stuff. But I'm really thinking there's now, like, some pretty compelling arguments to talk about the virtues of Chris J as a top level, an elite sniper in Europe, and he's been incredibly consistent. And so it was here again today. You know, on B site, made some amazing plays of shutting down rushes. You can argue about the utility or whatever usage from Hellraisers, but Chris J landed those shots, and that's been an issue before. You know, lands the spectacular ones, whiffs the easy ones, made a ridiculous clutch on 1 HP. Two kills with 1 HP. I mean, that was the heartbreak. That's when they really put the screws to Hellraisers at that point. You know it's not going to be your day. But just playing really, really well. Lowell remains a great find. And it's, again, it just comes down to the Germans. You know, Dennis had a decent game here. Spitty, I mean, when you looked, I looked at his numbers. Me and Moses were having a fucking laugh about this. We looked at his numbers from the Na'Vi game, and he had like two kills and an ADR of like 22. Yeah, you know, I've said it before. I think Timo's a cool guy. Don't think he's ever going to be an elite level player. And I think as long as Mouse Sports are carrying that kind of dead weight, you count them out of tournaments of this stature, you know? It's almost like a concession at that point. It's like to keep Spitty on the team because we need a support player. Wink, wink. You just mean a bad player. You know, and I don't understand the logic in that you would need him. I don't understand what he does. That's so amazing that he's needed. And he does have the odd game. But as I said, I'll refer you again to that graph people did where it was the four quadrants and you had, you know, inconsistent high, consistent high, you know, consistent, sorry, inconsistent low and consistent low. And Spitty and Dennis were both in that quadrant. And Spitty all the way, you know, one of the worst, you know, performing pros, him and Dennis. So it's always going to be tough for Mouse Sports while they make those concessions. And I'm not saying kick them, but there's got to be something you can do. I mean, you know, again, this was a stomp. This was a 16-7 game, and Spitty still kind of struggled numbers-wise, hasn't really been great. And, you know, you haven't had a lot to do. He's barely broke a positive score, so a little bit a little bit disappointing on an individual level. Like I say, I like the guy. But Hellraisers, I think at this stage, you know, they're just not going to do anything here. They've almost kind of given up. It's just such a flat performance. Now, Na'Vi versus Envious was the next game. I had Na'Vi comfortably winning this. I've got Na'Vi winning the whole major. And I'm sticking to that, predicated on predictions I made like 2 months ago. And, you know, I've got a pretty good batting average with major predictions, major championship predictions. So I'm feeling pretty good right now. But I could be wrong. But I thought this was just proof that Na'Vi are the real deal. I mean, whatever they were doing in the boot camp has really worked. And they got on a cobblestone. Let's all be clear. Let's remember, Na'Vi was struggling on cobblestone. Couldn't buy a win on this map. They were doing this ridiculous. I mean, this is one of the fundamental problems that they had, actually. On the CT side, they were doing these dual AWP setups with, like, Seized and Guardian. I'm Simple and Guardian, and it was killing them. It was killing them because if they lost a round, their economy would be fucked. There wasn't that mobility. You can't comfortably, you know, like do a fast rotation because if someone shuts off the middle part of the map, then you get caught with a pistol in your hands. You know, you're in an unfavorable duel. So it was killing them. And this is why they were really struggling on this map. And they've gone away from that strat. So if they've done nothing, they've now said, we're not going to dual AWP on this. And Simple only really picks it up if there's a necessity or he's feeling it or whatever. But it's mostly Guardian. Now, what's great about this performance, which was 16-6 on cobblestone, is first of all, it's on cobblestone. So that's two huge wins. They've given up 9 rounds on cobblestone, won both the maps against, you know, they are tier 1 opposition, but they're at the lower end of tier 1. Fair play. But Guardian hasn't done anything. He hasn't had to do anything. You've got Flamey putting in a beast mode performance. Edward Seized actually looked more like his old self and has at this tournament. Simple hasn't had to go god mode yet. They just haven't had to dig deep. They haven't been challenged yet. And I think that's a great sign. I think that's really, really good. Meanwhile, over at Envious, it was standard Envious, really. The Envious we've come to know and you know, love, I guess. Happy doing what Happy does. You know, I don't want to criticize Happy too much. I feel he gets a lot of shit. But you can see the malfunction in the team. Which, Envious, they used to be so good on this map. let me refresh your memory. They used to own Cobblestone. They used to dominate teams with this irresistible T-side where they could just burst out of a bomb site, just brute force their way in with picks and entries, and then keep stop you with a getting a comfortable rotation with just a bombardment of utility. It was just this explosion. It was so good to watch. And now to see the envious, the way they approach the game, lacking confidence, drip drabs, people not landing shots, people not setting up basic crossfires on the CT side, malfunctioning, happy with this anachronistic ultra lurk style that he plays, where he's just so far removed from the action that if his teammates don't do their job, it's going to be impossible for him to clutch the round. And there's all these problems in Envious, and they just don't look like the side that was picked up by Hastro at all. They are lacking a direction, lacking an identity, and you can totally see why a French shuffle is necessary at this point to get the best out of French Counter-Strike. This team isn't working, G2 isn't working, and there is a combination that can work for sure. But the real story for me here is Na'Vi, absolute beasts. Definitely feeling good about my prediction based on this performance. FaZe versus SK, wow, dude, fucking heartbreak. I mean, I felt so sorry for Carrigan. They did everything right. This was a classic SK Gaming comeback, which they, first time that we've seen them dig this deep with Fox. But here's the thing. You've always got to put these guys to bed. There are no easy rounds. And I think what I saw with FaZe was they made one or two little kind of aggressive plays towards the end when they got to that all important round. And yeah, it was a great comeback by SK Gaming, but obviously you have to enable your opponents to get those comebacks. I thought Carrigan just showing why they're so good on Mirage, monster individual performance from him. But SK Gaming, unfortunately, have just got an ace up their sleeve. You've got Fur, 37 kills in a singular overtime. Cold Zera, 35. Fallen didn't even need to do much in this game. And what's been interesting is SK Gaming, they've made this concession where they're trying to empower Fox. I think this is a bad call long term. I think this will be what makes them lose to the better teams. But Fallen's not been AWPing. I mean, Fallen's been putting the AWP in Fox's hands in some rounds and rifling and just making calls and rotations. And I understand you're trying to make Fox feel comfortable, but he's not the one. He's not the guy. I'd much rather it was in Fallen's hands. I think we can all agree on that. So, it just shows that when it comes to winning mentality, Fallen will do anything. What he thinks is best for the team. He'll be a selfless player. And it's great to see because it worked. Had it not, if ColdZera and Fur don't turn up and put in that monster performance and they lose to FaZe, I don't know if he carries that mindset forward into the next game. But it did work and it was spectacular. But it's got to be said, SK Gaming here, they coaxed monster performances out of ColdZera and Fur. Itako had a nice little 1v1 clutch, which again would have been, if they lose that, it's curtains. So I understand FaZe feeling a little bit dejected, but again, they shouldn't be. This type of game was unthinkable that they would take SK Gaming all the way 3 months ago. This was unthinkable. So they've still clearly made progress. And there's one or two little mistakes they can iron out. I still think FaZe are going to surprise a few people at this major. And SK Gaming, as we said, I didn't doubt for a second that they were going to go to the playoffs. So this is kind of just business as usual. But yeah, certainly a fantastic game. Now, we get into a shit show. Oh, and obviously, in terms of my predictions, sorry. So for that one, for FaZe versus SK, I had SK winning. So I'm 2-1 as it stands at the moment. But anyway. Flip side Liquid. I had Flip side beating Liquid because I think Liquid are awful as a team. And I think this proved it. I think this game actually proved it. I think it proved they're awful. This was, for me, the worst game of the major in terms of quality. Nitro needs to fucking get his head in the game. These are inexcusably bad performances from him, especially when you consider he's meant to be one of the great unsung heroes of North American Counter-Strike. There is no justifying the performances he's had here. Absolutely none. This cannot be explained away by support performances. This cannot be explained away as a bad day at the office. This is a systemic series of poor play. He made 8 kills against Flipside this in a 16-14 game. This is garbage. Meanwhile, Elige drops 37, one of the highest performances at the major. I think joint or second best performance at a major. And again, I'll stand by what I said on broadcast that I think Aulis Nijak Elige is the best player in NA. Yep, all right, well, yep, okay, whatever. Let's see him go to more tournaments and sustain this level against better teams. And let's see him be able to pull out those mercurial winning performances like Automatic did, like Stewie did, like Rush has done for Optic. These players, for me, definitely deserve a nod before Elige just based on what they've been doing in the scene, which isn't to say that Elige isn't a phenomenal player. I've definitely got my doubts about whether or not he could fit into another North American team and perform at this level. That's just me. But certainly, in terms of what he's doing for Liquid, best player on the team, hands down. And really the only good thing for Liquid at the major so far. Hiko was functional. JDM did what JDM had to do. Pimp did what he had to do. But this game really was typified by Flipside making some mistakes. As I said, the quality was awful. Very impressed with the development of Electronic. I think we're going to try and put an article out at some point on the E-League website talking about this emergence of the CIS region Counter-Strike. We've got some great young players coming through. You think about Hobbit, you think about Electronic. This is a good time, actually, for the scene. You know, meanwhile, Vega Squadron as well, not even at the major, you know, got guys like Chopper over there and Mir. You know, these guys deserve to be talked about. So I think we should really look at what's happening in this scene, which, despite its size, has really underwhelmingly produced talent, you know. For it hasn't produced great talent for a long time. I think we're entering a potential golden age. You know, we might not get it in 2017, certainly 2018 and beyond, when these players got a little bit of experience at international events, maybe some sort of new wave CIS super team is going to come together. And, you know, Na'Vi-esque from 1.6, who knows what's going to happen. Anyway, neither here nor there. The reality is that the flip side, it came down to two errors. This should have been an overtime game. First of all, Waylander whiffed a bunch of fucking shots. And there was one round where he just basically whiffed majorly, would have won the round, would have won the flip side of the game. He undoubtedly in that moment cost them the game. But there was still a chance to take it to overtime. The veteran Markov, who had a fantastic game, by the way. Hands down the best thing on Flipside's team. You can't criticize him for this. This is heartbreaking. But it just shows in the moment how teams can break down. He's in a 1v2 clutch. He jumps over a defuse kit to make the clutch, and it was just there. He didn't need to make the jump. He didn't need to avoid picking up the kit. He could have picked it up. He then jumps over, gets a kill, the guy coming up short, goes down a monster, gets the clutch, doesn't have time to make the defuse. If he picks up the kit, he gets the defuse comfortably, and we have overtime. And I think Liquid Spirits would have been crushed, and I think Flipside would have come out and won, which is wild speculation on my part, sure, but whatever. The reality is, in that point, I got to say, I think your teammates have to help you out. I know maybe there's a rule or something, like, you don't talk, you know. Someone's got to say, because he jumped over the kit, like, effectively twice. There was another one, I think, to his left he could have picked up. He had opportunities to basically empower himself to win that round. And yes, the timing on short, if he doesn't make the peak when he makes the peak, maybe he doesn't get the kill, but yeah. You know, what ifs, I suppose. But definitely super unlucky. If he just walks up and picks up that kit with the exact same timing he made the push, he takes them to OT. So that's how poor Liquid are playing. You know, Liquid have spent so much money. They're meant to be this kind of sleeper team. They were fucking runners-up at the last major, for fuck's sake. And they've looked absolutely awful. I mean, really bad. So not feeling them at all. Got this prediction wrong. Did say it would be Flipside. Kind of feel like my prediction was kind of good. I don't think Liquid are a better team than Flipside. They might have better talent on the roster. I don't think they're a better team than Flipside right now. And I think the way the game played out kind of bears that out. North versus Fnatic. This was another upset in my opinion. Fnatic, all sorts of problems. Roster changes seemingly incoming. But North, let me tell you, I wrote an article when everyone was hyping up Dignitas, and there was all those tweets from, you know, people like Doran and people, yep, the Team Dignitas will win this and da-da-da. And I was just like, I'm not really feeling it. I don't see what's going to change to make them an all-conquering, world-beating side. And then Epicenter happened, and all of the talent was like, hey, what do you know? You don't understand the game. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, I suppose we have to call them world contenders right now. Since Epicenter, what have they really done? They negotiated themselves some great fucking contracts. They're right up there. I mean, fuck, they're I keep hearing varying rumors. They're definitely in the top three teams in the world. I've heard number one. I've heard a salary which definitely eclipses the one that I know exists and is the number one. But, you know, they've negotiated themselves this great deal. Haven't looked like delivering on it at all. To go 0-2 when you're this team and you've lost to Gambit and a forlorn Fnatic that's really struggling, it's not good enough. Simple as that. There's no dressing it up. Config, failure to launch at the major. MSL, actually below his standards. He's been performing quite well just on a statistical basis. And the parts aren't functioning. And now they're in a position where they could bow out. Meanwhile, Fnatic, I mean, you know, you saw the reaction when they won. It was a bit strange. You know, I don't really know where Fnatic are right now. I think they're almost resigned to the changes. And like Thorin said on the desk, a very astute observation. I think everyone just wants to retain the legendary spot. Because they know that means, well, I'm all right then. It doesn't matter what roster. I'm staying. I'll be back at the next major in a legendary capacity. North, I got to say, I don't see them taking the next few games. I think they're done. I don't think they're going to go through. There you have it. And I had them beating Fnatic. I had them just edging it. But I did say if they lose here, they're out. They're done. And I'm definitely going to stand by that assessment. Optic versus Astralis, another game where my prediction was inaccurate, although again, I stand by it. It was 16-12. I think Optic have been unbelievably unlucky. Device having another monster performance. I mean, he's back to his best individual levels of form. Super impressed with what he's been doing for Astralis. And gotta say, you know, perhaps needs a little bit of support here. But it was on Train. I felt when Train came out of the randometer rather than Overpass, I kind of felt that was the moment where my heart sunk a little bit. I think out of the two, I think if Optic get Overpass, I think they beat Astralis on Overpass. I really do. I think Optic are a phenomenal Overpass team. I think they're very good on Train. And I think Astralis are good on Train. I think they were there for the taking. I think there was a few rounds where it really came down to just a little bit of luck, a little bit of timing, or Device going off. You know, I'm still not feeling this Astralis for the major thing. I'm saying this now after day two's been wrapped. Not feeling it, but yeah, we'll see. We'll wait and see, I suppose. But yeah, Optic, very unlucky. I thought Rush had another great performance. Got to say, I've been disappointed with Tarek this major. Sure, he's a motivator, been very vocal. He knows he needs to step up his individual level of performance. He doesn't need me to put the boot in. Everyone else has kind of been there or thereabouts where you expect them to be. Tarek is a big player. He's a big name player with a big reputation, and there's big expectations that when he gets on the server, he's going to do damage, and he hasn't really done that. So, feel very sorry for Optic, but Astralis have arrived. They've got that game. They've stabilized. So, good news for Astralis fans. Good news for people who predicted them to win. Godsent versus Gambit. I had Godsent winning this. So, again, not another great day for a prediction. Couldn't really conceive of a world where Godsent could destroy Astralis 1 minute, lose to Gambit the next. I'm going to say as well, I do not think Godsent are a good Overpass team. I know they play it. Every time I've watched them play it in detail, they just don't look good on it. But this was really just about Gambit just having superior firepower, winning the trades, having very solid CT setup. I mean, yeah, Gambit did everything right. It's not like you can just put it all on Godsent being bad. And you know, JW was statistically in line with Pronax. That's obviously a problem. But Adram was phenomenal. And this is what I think is interesting about this Gambit team. Hobbit had his poorest game in a while, actually. He wasn't needed, and that's what's crazy. The veterans are coming back. You've got Dozier, you've got Adren, you've got Zeus, and literally these guys are dropping numbers. They're not there to do that. They're not meant to be doing it. It's really meant to be about Mo and Hobbit, right? That's what the team's supposed to do. Adren has been in revelatory form. I mean, since the addition of Zeus, it's almost like it's activated Adren. I feel like he's really performing well. And when you consider this is a guy who was in K2-3 way fucking back in the day, it's great to see a veteran really be able to pull out this level of performance and perhaps doesn't get enough plaudits for it. You know, we all talk about, wow, hasn't Taz had a monster game? Hasn't, Forrest been playing well? You know, we talk about all this. Adrian's another old school motherfucker. And no one's really talking about him and patting him on the back when he drops these incredible performances. 28 kills against Godsent, 106 ADR, monster numbers, definitely deserves credit. And Gambit are the real deal, 2-0. In with a great chance. I think it's unthinkable now that Gambit can't get a game, a fixture that puts them through into the legend spot. So I think that's happening. I think that's a foregone conclusion at this point. Virtus Pro versus G2 to close out the day. 16-14, a great game. Really enjoyed this one. And again, what can you say? Pasha was poor. Taz was brilliant, monstrous, him and Snacks, like, really doing damage this event. Snacks is back to his best, looking just great out there. And what stood out for me from G2 was Body. I've been saying this for ages, like, he just doesn't get any credit. He's like the best discovery in the French scene, and then people don't want to talk about him because he's not a big name. You'll never see him singing his own praises or doing anything flamboyant. Body was ridiculously good. This is Virtus Pro. Body's absolutely destroyed him. He was just doing so much good work. And yeah, Shocks had some great moments. RPK had some great moments. Scream had some great moments. Even Smith's kind of came alive in the game in the second half. This was a very, very close game. And I was very impressed by G2, even in defeat. But Body was the standout, really, for me, over the course of the game, because people don't expect it from him. Taz, you know, he can always roll back the years, and certainly on Train and Nuke, he always seems to find these big performances. Snacks, definitely expect it from him, don't you? You know, but Body, this was great. This was an elite level performance in a major. Super happy for him, and hopefully he starts getting the respect and credit he deserves. You know, I think there's a brand of player that people just ignore and they go under the radar. You know, every time Rubino plays bad, people say you got to kick Rubino if you want that team to succeed. They scapegoat him for North. Every time he literally does a match-winning performance, no one to be found. It's cricket. It's like, well, you know, what's going on? So G2 unlucky. Virtus Pro in pole position. So we take a look at the matchups we've got coming up today in a few hours, 4 hours, I think. And let me tell you, Mouse Sports versus Fnatic. Well, I'm going to stand by everything I've said about Mouse Sports and them being awful. And even though Fnatic have all the problems, I think this is a great chance for them to get one step closer to making the legend spot, which is all I'll expect them to do. So yes, Fnatic will beat Mouse Sports. Godsent versus Envious, really tough one. I see these as two similar teams in terms of ability, malfunctioning, crisis of confidence, dysfunctional in-game leaders for different reasons, roster changes incoming. There's a lot of parallels between these two teams. This is a really tough one to call. I'm going to stick to my gut feeling, which is to lean towards Godsent on this one. I can't imagine them making the same mistakes they've done in the veto. I don't think Envious really have a kind of pocket pick map where they could just blow Godsent out the water. I guess we'll wait and see. All I do know is it won't be on Train, so we shall wait and see. North versus Hellraisers. Well, if North do go 0-3, having lost to the teams they've lost to, then they ought to be ashamed. I mean, there would be no defending it whatsoever. And Hellraisers have looked terrible. This is where Hellraisers are going to go 0-3. Hellraisers really let themselves down this major. Inexcusable, really. They had fixes as well. They could have upset. They had that upset potential. Their map pool just isn't good enough to warrant the faith that people have placed in them. Meanwhile, at North, they'll be under immense mental pressure. This game will be a shit show. I mean, this will be disgusting. It'll be really poor level Counter-Strike, typified by mistakes. I think North will limp through like 16-10 or something like that, whatever the map comes out. I think North just have enough in the locker. Gambit versus Virtus Pro is a really interesting one. And Gambit certainly have these maps that overlap with maps Virtus Pro like to play. But here's the problem. I think Virtus Pro have one of the strongest map pools out of any team in attendance at this major, if not the strongest. I think they've got strength in depth that teams would die for. They're just so good, even at the newer maps. You know, Virtus Pro will give you a game on Nuke. They will wreck you. And a lot of teams don't like to play that, but then they leave it in there as a wild card, a Hail Mary, you know. Virtus Pro have got that depth. So I've got to say, I think this will be a cracking game. I think this will be really good. I'm going to edge it to Virtus Pro, but I think Gambit are going to put in work. I think this will be very close. And yeah, this could, it's got a potential to be another 16-14, honestly, another 16-13. But Virtus Pro are going to do it. Astralis versus G2. I'll go with a Hail Mary here. I'll go a little bit wild because conventional wisdom says it should be Astralis. All the omens and signs and portents point to it being Astralis. I'm going to go with G2 on this one. What I've seen from G2 in their win over Fnatic, their close game against Virtus Pro, is that these guys actually do want to get into that legend spot. I guess maybe it's a form of insurance. I don't know really what's going on with the mindset and the mentality, but I'll tell you, you wouldn't think anything was going on with G2 based on how they've handled themselves, based on how they've been hanging around backstage. They actually look like they're in a position to do well. And when Duncan said, you know, I don't always agree with things Duncan said. I think the Astralis winning the major is a circle jerk. I think it's stupid. I don't think it has a lot of substance to it. I guess I will look like an idiot for repeating that by the end if they do eventually go on to win it. But G2, surprising. Yeah, actually, I think that's an astute observation. I think that's definitely plausible. SK versus Na'Vi. Na'Vi are going to win this game. I mean, they're gonna put this SK resistance to bed. I think they'll find the gaps in SK's armor and be able to exploit them in a way that FaZe couldn't. And I think Simple always revels playing against the Brazilians. He's going to bring his A game. The number one practiced player coming into the major. Phenomenal amount of hours. The team's fresh. They've come out of a boot camp. They fixed the weaknesses on the maps that they were struggling on and were poor on. I think this will be a great game, but I think Na'Vi are going to win it. And I think it won't be classically close. I think there'll be a margin. Liquid versus FaZe. FaZe will bounce back from their disappointing loss against SK and put Liquid to bed easily because Liquid are terrible. And Optic versus Flipside. Optic aren't gonna give Flipside the opportunities Team Liquid did. Optic here, you're not gonna go 0-3. That's the good news. You are gonna beat Flipside, and you're gonna beat them quite comprehensively, I think. I think that's a 16-8 in my estimation. So it would be a travesty if Optic couldn't beat Flipside. So there's my predictions. I put it out there. I know these vlogs, the last one didn't really take off. It didn't really make it on the front page. So maybe people don't find this kind of thing interesting, and that's fine. This is more for the people who just wanted to, you know, get my thoughts about the major. But as I said, they might be a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more interesting now that Sam's here and he can stick a camera in my face while we're at the event. And we got a computer set up and we're going to try and edit some VODs and stuff. But the main thing is, of course, just thanks to everybody for supporting the major and supporting what we do. We feel it's been a good broadcast. We know there's been some hiccups, a few weird tech errors, some gremlins in the system were happening yesterday. I don't know if it was the Steam logon bug. I think there was some actual tech issues as well, but you know, nothing that really threw the broadcast for a loop, not huge delays. And this is the good thing about being in the studio. You know, we're ironing all of this out in a familiar setting. We're going to get all this lined up, and it's going to just, we're going to blow the doors off when we get to the Fox. So I can't wait for that. Anyway, I'm going to go get into my suit. The worst part of the day for me. And I will see you on the broadcast. Thanks a lot for watching this vlog. And thanks a lot for supporting the E-League Major in Atlanta.